Good morning. Would you stand with us this morning as we open our service with prayer? We want to welcome you to the house of the Lord today. We just want to pray that the Lord would minister and touch lives today. Would you join me? Father God, we just thank you as we begin this service this morning. We just pray, Father God, that you would touch and minister and meet every need. Lord, we just pray that your kingdom come and your will be done today, Lord. We just thank you for the opportunity we have to come together as the body of Christ to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, Lord, that you would just minister in this service this morning. Bless everything that is said and done. And may we all leave here having drawn closer to you. We ask it as in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Shame, could not get past my blame. And then he, I'm so glad he changed me. See, I'm walking free. I've got the victory. See, it's all over me. I'm so glad he saved me. See, I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, there's new life. I live by faith, not by
God, we worship your name, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for your salvation, God. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you, God. There's honey in the rock. Praying for a miracle, thirsty for the living well, only you can satisfy.
sweetness at the mercy seat. Now I've tasted, it's not hard to see. Only you can satisfy. There's honey in the rock. 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 Freedom, where the Spirit is.
Just to rest up.
trust you, Jesus. Oh, we trust you, Jesus. God, just to stand on your word, Lord Jesus. To know, God, that whatever we need, God, you are all that we need. You provide everything, Jesus. God, just to stand on your word and know that your promises are good and they're true, Father. We praise your name, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercies never fail me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so goodness of God. I love your voice. Oh, your mercies never fail me. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. The goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see of the good. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Pray, Father God, that you would just continue to touch those we've been praying for. We continue to pray that you would touch Tony Keller and Larry Newell and Debbie Rowland and the Gabbard family who was all sick. We pray that you would minister to them, Lord. I pray that you would just touch Caleb this morning as he's at ER not feeling well. I pray that you would just minister to him right now, touch his body. Lord, we just pray that you just continue to meet every need in our congregation. We just thank you, Lord, that you continue to touch our nation, continue to touch our leadership, Lord, we pray. Continue to bless Israel. Continue to lift up this name, your name, above every name. We pray, Father God, that you would help us as a church to do our part to light up the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, just meet every need in this place. We just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated.
For the freedom you fought for and the flag you stood for the country we cherish and the people we love, for the bravery you showed and the fortitude you held, for the days of dedication and the nights of devotion, for the miles you walked and the skills you learned, for the months of training and the years of service, for the memories you carry of the battles you saw, for the legacy of your courage and the honor you deserve. When our nation needed you most, you answered the call. A deep and unshakable sense of allegiance and responsibility. You were bold, you did not hesitate, and you did not walk away. You were gone for holidays and anniversaries and birthdays, because while we were living in peace and freedom, you were fighting for it. Thank you is not enough. We can't repay you, but we will promise to remember. You are the reason we can sing the land of the free and the home of the brave. You are the heroes among us. You are not forgotten. You are the veterans. We remember your courage, we honor your sacrifice, and we thank you today.
May we never as a nation ever get tired or complacent in a way that we don't remember our veterans, those who have paid the price so that we could have freedom. And just as we have done many times before, and just as we're going to do many times in the future, today I'd like to ask that our veterans would stand so that we can honor them in an appreciation and a round of applause. So if you would stand today, look around today, look at those in our congregation who are veterans. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love the video says, you are our heroes. You are our heroes. You are. And we thank you so much and honor you today. I want to welcome all of you here to church, to Noble Assembly of God, whether you're watching online or you're here in the building today. If you're a first-time visitor, maybe it's the first time you've come to be with us, we want to say welcome. Thanks for coming and being a part of our family. And you are a visitor the first time. After that, you're just family. And we had asked that If this is your first time visiting here, if you take the card in the seat back in front of you, we still do it old school. Would you just fill that out and place it in the offering bag that's going to go by in just a little bit, a little later in our service. Gives us a record of your attendance and lets us know that you came to hang out with us today. And I also want to say welcome to all of you who have been here many times before. I'm glad you're back. Glad you're back. And I think you're going to enjoy the service today and all that's going to happen. Want to give you a few announcements before we move any further. Tonight is, it's been a few weeks since we've done this, but tonight is our Connect group. And if you have been a part of a Connect group, then you already kind of know where you're headed and who you're hanging out with and all of that. But you can go on the table back there. Most of the leaders have written, like, what they're doing tonight. I know we're doing Italian tonight. And so that's exciting for us. I think some are doing soups and some are doing finger foods, and so you can see that. But if you haven't been a part of a Connect group, it's not too late. Come join in. We have one that meets right here at the church. We have several that meet out in homes. Our kids, elementary kids, meet in the big room back across the way, and our youth meet in our youth room led by our college students. And I've heard word that tonight is 80s night. 80s night. So apparently my closet will get raided, and so we just want to encourage you to be a part of Connect Groups tonight. It's a wonderful time. Next week, Mark and Susie Perkey will be here hanging out with us and speaking to us, and as we always say, we have a little Perkey, what is it? Perkey before turkey, that's it. I messed it up. And then this Wednesday night is our turkey bowl, our annual event in our youth department where we do actually bowl turkeys. If you're concerned about that, you are not the first. And so we have a lot of fun launching potatoes and bowling turkeys and eating Thanksgiving dinner in a really strange way called a food relay. I can explain that to you some other time. Some of you probably don't want to know. And so we have a challenge to get 50 people there, and so we're hoping to at least get 50 to our turkey bowl. And so be praying about that, that we get a lot of young people there that we can speak into their lives. Amen? Amen. That's what it's all about. It's not really about bowling turkeys, although it is fun. And then lastly, we have Christmas for the City. You've seen the table out there. Thank you to those that have already signed up to make a gift or build a gift for a young person who may otherwise not get Christmas. Some of you have already brought your gifts back. There's been some confusion on the paper. It says November 14th to the 18th. That's an in-house thing there. We bring ours when we go down. So as long as you have your gift in and this date's on the table, by December, Sunday, December 4th, the first Sunday of December, you'll be great. That'll be great. So you've got a little more time. Some of you were a little concerned about that. You can also volunteer to serve and volunteer to just help in various different ways. And so check out the table, and I think you'll be blessed. How many of you have been part of our outreach in Christmas? Either you've gifts or volunteering or whatever. Majority of people in our church have, and I'm telling you, it is super rewarding. Well, today I get to take a few moments and talk about Speed the Light. How many of you, by raising your hand, know what Speed the Light is? All right, yeah, my young people are raising their hand. All right, how many of you, by raising a hand, have no idea what Speed the Light is? All right, got a few, good. Okay, we're going to talk about Speed the Light today, and we're going to share with you what's going on in our youth department, things like that. But the way I'd like to start it, I'm going to have some students up here in a minute, but the way I'd like to start it is with a video that's titled, Why Speed the Light? So watch this.
So when I think about those that can't speak for themselves, I think I've been given that voice. I've been given the right to speak on their behalf. And I know that because I know that the gospel is meant to be spoken. I know that it's meant to be demonstrated, and I know that it's meant to look like something. We got to get this message out to the world, and so people can see Jesus, how he is, and how he really is, and we got to do it through creative communication.
Transportation is so important when reaching the world is our mission.
Culture and language, many people think of it as an obstacle or something that gets in the way, but I think if we use it as a tool, it can be a bridge to communicate the gospel.
Like it says in Hebrews 11:4, our gifts continue to speak long after we give them.
The most important goal in our life is to demonstrate Christ's love in a practical and a real way, and that is to show compassion to others.
This is a ministry founded on seeing lost souls saved, and Speed the Light is actually our privilege to recognize that there are lost people in the world and to turn around and see the hope that Christ brings.
The Bible is God's gift to earth. Speed the Light can provide it.
Living life without truly knowing who God is and what he's done for me, I think of a life without hope and without freedom. And that to me just seems almost unimaginable. So when I think about Speed the Light and what they're doing, I want to be a part of that. I want to take the gospel to them. I want to give them hope, the hope that I've experienced, and freedom, the freedom that I've been given.
Kids, come on up. Let's give our youth a hand as a few of them come up today. They're going to share with us. One of them was hiding in the drum cage. And amen. I'm excited to share with you about Speed the Light for just a few minutes. Everything we do should always start with Scripture and with God's Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 11 through 15 is a really familiar passage of Scripture. It says, the Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you believe that today? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the ones of those who bring good news. Speed the Light is all about bringing the good news. That's at the core of it. We have some books. I don't have enough for everybody, but I do have some. They look like this, and most of the statistics and stuff that I'm going to read today come out of this book. If you'd like one, just raise your hand, and Darren will give you one. But I'm going to read you some statistics as we go. Go ahead, Darren. If you'd like to see one, they're really cool, give you some really cool graphics and some statistics. But Speed the Light's about bringing the good news any way possible. They purchased over 9,000 missionary vehicles, 60 Convoy of Hope semis, 492 teen challenge vans, 33 airplanes, 192 water welling drilling machines, 1,200 motorcycles, 125 animals that carried people, donkeys and horses and other things, 233 boats, over 4,000 bicycles, 132 trailers, amongst a list of other things that Speed the Light has purchased to bring the gospel. And since 1944, when Speed the Light began, youth, just like the ones that are setting up here, the ones that are setting out there, that are a part of our efforts, have raised over $300 million. $300 million to bring the light. Amen. So I brought them up today because they're going to share really quick about three things. Each of them are going to share about something, three things that missions teaches us, three lessons that missions teaches us. And the first one is this, is that missions equips us to minister locally right where we're at. Elliot's going to come talk to you about that.
So when people think of Speed the Light, they usually think like, oh, we're sending money here to take it all the way over into Africa or to get someone up a mountain over here or all that kind of stuff. But in my life, I see it weekly. I'm the president of Rose State Chi Alpha, and so I work pretty closely with Greg. And Greg Tiffany, who's the state director of Chi Alpha. And so I see him once a week, and we go to Rose State, and we do a Bible study. And then he packs all his stuff up into his vehicle that was purchased by Speed the Light and takes it over to OCCC, and he does a Bible study there. Then he packs his stuff up into that vehicle that was purchased by Speed the Light, and he takes it around the state. And so I think he's on his second Speed the Light vehicle now. That without the money raised by students, he would not be able to go around the state and minister. So,
as you can see, Speed the Light affects people all the way over, like he said, in Africa and Asia and other places. But Speed the Light affects our students right here in efforts at Rose State and OCCC and OU and OSU. So missionaries equip us to minister locally right here. Missions equips us to minister locally. Missions enables us also to think outside the box. It pushes us to be better and to do better and to think, God, how can you use my giftings to further the gospel? And so Addie's going to come talk about what she does that's a little outside the box. I bet no one else here does this.
Probably not. So what I do to raise money for Speed of the Light is me and my dad go for our gopher business called Gopher Girl. And we go and we catch them. And then all the money that we raise, I go straight to Speed the Light. And then I also do books for Little League basketball. And that goes straight to Speed the Light, too. And if y'all got gophers, y'all can see me after service.
Yeah. See, when you see a mound of dirt in your lawn, you think you've got a problem. And she sees money she could raise for missions. So if you've ever wondered why the church, if we ever get one, don't have those heels very long, it's because we get Addie and Jeremy to come over and get rid of the gophers so that we keep the lawn beautiful here and promote missions. It's a win-win. But you know what? Sometimes we wonder, what can we do for missions? And missions pushes us to think outside the box. How can I use my giftings? Addie's using her gifting and does it in a lot of ways. And how much did you raise last year? Do you remember how much you raised last year?
It was like $675, and my goal was $500.
Yeah, she set a goal of $500 and ended up raising almost $700 for missions, one gopher at a time. The third thing I would share with you is this, is that missions is not just about doing. It's not just about doing missions, but it is about sending. That's what the scripture said. Paige is going to come share with you about how we find a healthy balance in our youth group with that, doing and sending.
All right, so as most of you know, we take two missions trips every year. And so raising money for both those missions trips and raising money for Speed the Light seems like a pretty big goal, a pretty big thing that almost seems impossible. A few years ago, we decided we're going to really push for Speed the Light. And so we waited till after we had raised all of our money for our missions trips and this. We'd gone on our trips, and after the summer was over, we hit the ground running with Speed the Light fundraisers. So our goal was $2,500, and we raised over $5,000. So that kind of proved that it is possible to do both. If you are willing to put in the dedication and the work, we've planned events from the Noble Fall Festival and doing concessions there, doing a soup bar at the Christmas in Noble, and different fundraisers like that, that just really helped us make it to our goal. So.
Amen. Yeah, the youth work really hard to raise money for to go on a missions trip. Then when the summer, she says, hits, we do it. And then as soon as summer's over, we turn our focus to helping missionaries that are on the field to do as they've been called to do. Well, I did something really interesting. I called Heath Corrales, our district youth director, and I said, Heath, can you give me a little information about what we are tangibly doing right now for Speed the Light? What's happening right now? And the four projects, the four missionaries who just received vehicles, some of these names you'll recognize because we've had them in before. Jordan and Shay Campbell, who are missionaries in Germany on military base. They're military chaplains. They just received a vehicle. Blake and Katie Edgemond, who are in Ireland. All right, so Germany and Ireland. Zach and Amanda Ray, who minister in India. And Matt and Randy McComber, who minister in Israel. So just within the last few months, missionaries from Germany, Ireland, India, and Israel have received their vehicles. And so I asked him, I said, well, okay, but what's the current projects? And that's what I want to conclude with today, because when he told me, I just was so anxious to share with you, because I feel like this is a full circle moment for us as a church. And I don't want to get dramatic, and I don't want to get over-spiritualized, but I really think that today could be a full circle moment for us. And I think you're going to be excited about it. So I asked him, I said, what are the current projects? He goes, well, let me look real quick. I had some, they have to submit a process, they have to submit an application and checks and balances. And then once they're approved, then we raise the money and get them the vehicle. So Ferry Ryder, who was just up here just months ago, missionary to Taiwan, she brought her, the lady, Linda, that's worked with her for years and years. It's from Taiwan. They do children's ministry. He said, well, that's the first one. I said, awesome, awesome. He said, Daniel Hazelrig. Daniel's a really good friend of mine. He's a missionary to Mexico. And he said, he's the second one. He goes, there's a third one. Hold on. This one just got approved within the last month. He goes, give me just a second. And he goes, oh, that's who it is. And so he said, we just approved a young lady from Indonesia named Lauren Morgan. See, the thing you need to learn is that missions comes full circle. Our youth are raising money. I got to quit looking at Pastor. Our youth are raising money for Lauren, who grew up in this church, in this youth group, and then committed her life to missions. Missions, when you invest in missions, what ends up happening is you don't just invest in random people. You begin to invest in the people you have poured your life in to teach them to serve the Lord. And so for us, 2 years ago, as Paige said, we raised close to $5,000 and we were ninth in the state. Last year, we pushed ourselves and raised $10,000, the most that's ever been raised in the history of our church, and was fifth in the state out of 460-something churches in Oklahoma. And this year, we set a goal of trying to raise at least $12,000, but we stand excited with the expectation of what the Lord's going to do in and through us. The truth is that no matter, we're at 7,000. That's what we've raised. The youth have Gopher Girled and sold candy bars, and we've got another fundraiser or two, and we're still going to push to the end. And that's what I would tell you as the ushers come to receive of the offering today. I tell you this, that we will not stop till everyone has heard the good news. And we will be active in sending people to tell. So if you would like to help us with the Speed the Light offering today, this is our regular offering too, but if you'd like to help us with the Speed the Light offering, you just put STL. That's all you need to put. Write STL on there. Put your money in the offering. We'll give you a report of how the offering goes as we push towards honoring the Lord with our efforts today. But I think today's a God moment, a day when our efforts as a youth group come together with our efforts as a church. A young lady in our own youth group. Wow. I want to pray with the offering. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lord, that when we are faithful to do what you ask us to do, when we are faithful to step out of the comfort zone and out of the box, Lord, when we're able to and just willing to say, you know what, God, I don't have that extra money, but God, I know you're tugging in my heart, so I'm going to do it today. Lord, that's when we begin to see you work in ways we never could do on our own. Lord, it's in those moments, God, where we see a young person who was raised in this church, who then dedicated her life not just to you, but to your service. Lord, we've sent her, and Lord, now we want to enable and help her, to give her that vehicle to share the good news. So, Lord, we pray over all the tithe and offering today. But today, from my heart to you, Lord, I pray over the Speed the Light. God, you would multiply it and do bigger and greater things than we could ever imagine. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus.
Thank you for your offering. Thank you for the worship team this morning. You may be seated. I was thrilled as Pastor Phil told me about the person that was needing our support, needing to get a vehicle, was Lauren Morgan. I thought that really is cool, full circle. And so thank you for your giving this morning and for your help in helping our youth reach their goal of $12,000 for Speed the Light. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Mark. Continuing the series today, Remarkable, as we look at the book of Mark. Today we're going to turn to Mark chapter 1 and verse number 40. We're actually going to cover a few more verses today than what we've been doing. We're going to cover Mark chapter 1 verse 40 through chapter 2 verse 12. So we're going to read several verses here today. As we speak on the subject, Jesus the healer. Jesus the healer. It says, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven? Or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you are the Savior, and that you are the healer, and that you are the provider, and you are a thousand things to us, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the privilege we have of being here today. Speak to us in our hearts. Touch those who need a touch with healing. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Assemblies of God, we believe in what we call the 16 fundamental truths, which are the main set of scriptural beliefs that we as a movement or as a fellowship in the Assemblies of God hold on to. Of these 16, there are four that we call our core beliefs. And these are, one, salvation through Jesus, salvation through the blood of Jesus. Number two, we believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Number three, divine healing. And number four, the blessed hope, which is the return of Christ. Those are the four core beliefs of the Assemblies of God. Today's passage in Mark contains elements of both salvation and healing. And even the baptism in the Spirit is implied here. In these verses, we see Jesus bringing healing to two certain individuals. One is a man with leprosy, and the other a paralytic man with some good friends. We also see Jesus being the Savior as well as the healer when he frees the paralytic from his sins. And we see the baptism of the Spirit implied because Jesus, being fully God yet fully man, was dependent upon the Holy Spirit to operate in these gifts of healing, working of miracles, words of knowledge and wisdom and faith. So Jesus operated in the gifts to be able to minister as he did. And so we see the baptism in the Spirit implied there. The biggest thing we see from these verses is just how much the Lord Jesus Christ cares for people. You know, God loves people. He cares about their hurts. He cares about their struggles. He cares about their fears. And most of all, he cares about their eternal destination. Verse 41 says Jesus was moved with compassion. He cares about people. He cares about you. And he has not changed in that way at all. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that he's the same, help me out, yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. He's never changed. Now let's take a closer look at these verses and glean some truth that can help us in our walk with the Lord. I have 3 points to the message this morning. Number one, Jesus still heals. Jesus still heals. Jesus healed then, and he heals people now. If you ever go to a church and the preacher says that the Lord no longer heals people, don't believe it, because he still does heal people. First of all, the Bible records it. The Bible records it. We are not even out of the first chapter of Mark's gospel, and already many, many people have been healed and have been delivered. As you see that in verse 34, where it says, so Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. In these verses that we just read to you, a man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged to be healed. Leprosy was a terrible illness. We don't see a lot of leprosy in our day, and yet it is a terrible illness that was very prevalent back then, that ate away your skin and ate away your limbs. Your arms and your legs and your nose and your ears would just disappear. This was a terrible illness in that way, but it also separated you from your family. You had to be separated from your family because it was very contagious. You could not live with your family. You were an outcast outside of town. You lived in what they called a leper colony, or a group of people who also had leprosy, and so you were an outcast. No wonder this man came begging Jesus to heal him. He had heard Jesus had been healing people, and he wanted to get in on that. He wanted to be restored to his wife and his kids, I'm assuming. And so Jesus touches him, and the Bible says instantly the leprosy disappeared. Isn't that awesome? Instantly, this man was cured. In the case of the paralytic in the next chapter, he had several friends that cared about him and did whatever they could to see that their friend got the attention of the healer. We should be thankful for caring friends who care about us and who care about our condition. And you know what? We need to be a friend like that, don't we? We need to be caring for other people and making sure that they know the good news and hear about the Lord. As a result, this paralytic not only walked home, but he also went away forgiven. All through the Bible, we see that Jesus still heals. In James, the 5th chapter, it tells us how to be healed today. If there's someone that's sick, it says. It says in James 5:14, are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. So it tells us what we can do when we're sick. And so the Bible is clear to us to tell us that the Lord still heals. Secondly, humanity implores it. What do we mean by that? In other words, humanity is wanting to be healed. They just don't know or haven't heard where to turn or who to turn to. I believe there are lots of people who are living in the shadow of this church who don't know they could be healed physically and mentally and emotionally and most of all spiritually. But we need to tell them. We need to let them know that there's a healer and his name is Jesus. We as Christ's body have the good news, and we need to let it be known that people can be healed. Jesus adores it. He wants to do what we saw him do in these verses. Jesus wants to heal. He loves it because he loves people more than anything. He wants to reach out and touch those who need a doctor, as it says in the next chapter in Mark chapter 2 in verse 17. It says, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. And so the Lord wants to reach out and touch people. That is his mission. And then fourthly, testimonies endorse it. Many of you in this sanctuary this morning and watching online have been physically, mentally, and emotionally healed. And hopefully all of you have been spiritually healed. So you want to see a testimony or you want to hear a testimony? Look in the mirror. You're a testimony. Hey, man, your life is a testimony. If the Lord has touched you in any way, he is the healer. And at times, when you do get sick, as occurs due to our fallen state, don't hesitate to pray and don't hesitate to ask for prayer. God still hears and God still heals. Let me say it again. God still hears and God still heals. May we reach for prayer and healing verses from the Bible just as readily as we reach for the Tylenol and for our phone to call the doctor. Who do we turn to first? Sometimes when we're not feeling well, the first thing we do is go to the medicine cabinet. Maybe the first thing we need to do is pray. And then if that doesn't help immediately, then go get the Excedrin. I believe God uses both. Because we don't get a sick-free, pain-free, glorified body until we get to heaven. Some people preach that if you're really have enough faith and you're close enough to God, you'll never be sick. I wish that were true. There's some things that we don't get till we get to heaven. There's a lot of things we get now, but there's a lot of things we don't get till we get there. One day when we get to heaven, we can trade our mortal bodies, the Bible says in Corinthians 15, for immortal ones, and our earthly bodies for a heavenly one. I had a theology professor, Dr. Waters, when I was at Southwestern. They would always say this, it's already but not yet. He would say, already but not yet. You get some things now already, but you don't get it all now. There's some things that come later. So Jesus still heals. Secondly, this morning, Jesus will heal. But some might say, Pastor Steve, I know of people that didn't get healed. Not everyone gets healed. What do you do with the unhealed? How many of you know somebody that's been prayed for and they weren't healed? Let me see your hand. See, everybody. We know of situations like that. And it's true, not all are healed. And it's a mystery. You know, we read to you in James, if any of you sick, pray, anoint them with oil, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick well. Jesus told the disciples, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And he sent them out with that thing, with that promise and with that commission to pray for the sick. But I know of people, as you do, that have been prayed for and they weren't healed. So not all are healed. And that's a mystery. There are some who are healed and some who are not. Well, what about that? Why doesn't the Lord say to all, as he said to the leper, I'm willing? When the leper said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I'm willing. Why doesn't Jesus say that to every single person who's sick? The famous healing evangelist, how many of you have ever heard of Catherine Kuhlman? Famous healing evangelist back in the 60s and 70s, 50s, 60s, 70s. The famous healing evangelist Catherine Kuhlman once said that that is the first question she's going to ask the Lord when she gets to the other side is, why were some not healed? Well, I bet Catherine has her answer now, because she died on February the 20th, 1976, at the age of 68, if it even mattered to her then. So she's got her answer. We're living this side of heaven. We don't have that answer yet. That's one of those mysteries, she said. But let's look at God's higher purpose. Remember, God knows everything. He is what they call omniscient, or he is all-knowing. So I'm going to make some statements here, and some of you might not agree with me. Some of you might operate in a real hyper-faith mode, and you might take me to task on some of this. Like I said, the problem of the unhealed is somewhat of a mystery, because we know of people that have been prayed for and fully believing and weren't healed. And so we have to answer that. And so some of you might disagree with me. This is my opinion. It's what I believe the Bible teaches. I'll stick by it. If you don't agree with me, you take it up with the Lord. This is what I believe the Bible teaches. Sometimes God's purpose in our pain is greater than our promotion from our pain. Sometimes God's purpose in our pain is greater than our promotion from our pain. You ever heard of a lady by the name of Johnny Erickson Tata? When she was 17 years old in 1967, she dove into Chesapeake Bay and hit her head on a rock. And she was paralyzed from that point on, from the neck down. She paints with her mouth. She has a paintbrush or a pencil she'll put in her teeth, and she'll draw. And she has ministered to thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people since that time. 55 years later, millions have been touched by her testimony. She's spoken at Billy Graham Crusade. She has helped people with disabilities. She has given more hope to people that have life-controlling, disabling situations than anybody else, because she was speaking from experience. Sometimes an unhealed thorn in the flesh, we might call it, accomplishes more than if that thorn was miraculously removed. Which leads to this thought concerning the unhealed. Eventually, believers will all be healed. Dr. George Wood says in his book Fearless, "While we don't understand why some are healed now and others are not, we do know as believers that in short time, the hand of Jesus will touch us all with life immortal. Let us rejoice in the healing grace given to some now, and rejoice also that a complete healing lies ahead for all who put their faith in Christ Jesus." I believe when we trust the Lord for his hand of healing, that we keep on trusting him no matter what. No matter what. I can't remember what the evangelist was that said this, because somebody asked him when he was in a healing line of praying for people, so what do you do if you're praying for some people and somebody doesn't get healed? What do you say? He goes, "I just say, next. Who's next?" We pray and believe, and then we say next, and we leave the results to the Lord. Because it is true, there are times people do not get healed. But I want to tell you, it's equally true, there are times when people do get healed. So finally, we said Jesus will heal. Jesus still heals. Jesus will heal. Number three, Jesus is real deal. Got to keep the the rhyme going, you know. Jesus is real deal. Above and beyond all, Jesus the healer is concerned about people being spiritually healed and raised to new life in Christ. All of us at one time were dead in our trespasses and sin, but Jesus, by the shedding of his blood on the cross, atoned for us. He bridged the gulf between God's holiness and justice and his great love and mercy. He brought us back to God. The greatest healing of all is spiritual healing. He sought me and he bought me, the song says. And you might say he brought me into relationship with the Lord. In the case of the paralytic, Jesus knew that he would never be truly whole if the only thing he did was give him the power to walk again. Jesus knew that man would still be sick spiritually if he didn't take care of his sin problem. He wanted him, the paralytic, whole on the inside and on the outside. And he wants to be healed. He wants people to be healed at a layer deeper than flesh, muscles, and bones. So Jesus addressed the spiritual need first, which the religious leaders didn't like when he said, "My child, your sins are forgiven." And they said, "Only God can forgive sins." And that's true. But see, Jesus was God in the flesh. Then Jesus took care of the other need of walking again. Put a star by this. Unless the most important need, forgiveness, is healed, in the end, any other need won't matter. If you're not healed spiritually, it won't matter whether you can walk or talk or you can't hear or see. You'll be lost without Christ forever. So in conclusion, what is your need today? Spiritual? Are you forgiven and are you at peace with God? Greatest need of all is to know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. You've asked him to forgive you of your sins. Maybe your need today is a mental need. Are you in some sort of mental anguish? He can handle that too as you begin to have him renew your mind. He can touch you mentally. Maybe it's an emotional need. Are you struggling emotionally? What does the Lord say? He says, "Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you what? I'll give you rest." Maybe your need is emotionally. Maybe you've been through a lot of struggles. Or maybe your need is physical. Do you need the Lord to touch you in your body? And we can anoint and pray for you and pray the prayer of faith for that mountain to be what? Moved. I don't know what your need is today, but Jesus is the healer. And he's here today to touch and meet your need. If he healed then, he heals today, mentally, physically, emotionally, and most of all, spiritually. He is here to meet your need. He cares. He loves you. He's waiting for you. As the team comes to lead us in a final song, I would invite those who would like to be prayed for healing, to come forward. And these altars are open for prayer as well. So as they begin to sing here, I would just like to turn this into an altar service, into a healing service. If you would like prayer, we would like to pray for you. Father God, thank you, Lord, for the promise of healing. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the healer. Today, Lord, we just are going to be praying for people that need healing. I pray, Father God, for testimonies will come from this service, Lord, that lives are changed, that situations are healed, that bodies are healed, that sicknesses are healed, diseases are healed. Lord, we're going to leave that to you. We're going to pray and believe just as you've told us to, and then we're going to leave the results to you. And we're going to believe your word. as the team ministers today, if you need prayer, come ahead and come forward.
I can't wait for eternity. Join the song they're already singing. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Just to bow down before your throne, see your face, I'll cry out because you're holy.
Forever that you're the one who's faithful, faithful.
Righteous is the Lamb. Righteous is the Lamb. He's righteous. Righteous is the Lamb. Righteous is the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb. Trust in Jesus just to take.
to trust.
Sing it out one more time, declare it.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him.
Let's just lift our hands and give the Lord thanks and praise and thanksgiving for hearing and healing today. Lord, we thank You. We thank You. We praise You. Lord, we don't want to be like the 10 lepers who came and didn't say thank You. We want to be like the one, not the nine. We want to be like the one who came back and said, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for what You're doing for me, what You've done for me, what You're going to do for me. Thank You, Jesus, for being my Savior. Thank You, Jesus, for being my healer. Thank You, Lord, for what You are doing in my life and in my family. I speak healing over my family. I speak Jesus over my family. Just do that right now. Say, Jesus, You are Lord over my family. Lord, You are Lord over my family, over my church, over my community, Lord. We speak Your word today that You are Lord over all. We believe You, Lord. We believe You, Lord. We believe You, Lord, and we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing it one more time. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. So thankful today, Lord, for Your goodness, for Your grace, for Your mercy, for Your help, for Your healing. And Lord, we just continue to believe those that we're prayed for this morning. We continue to believe with them and for them, Lord, for healing. Lord, let there be testimonies come back that You have ministered in a miraculous way as the healer today, not just physically, mentally, and emotionally, but spiritually most of all. We give You all the praise and glory. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning.